In a world covered in a pandemic, only the people of the Tagcast can save you. Starring Fenrir765 and our guest host, Anthem, Part 3, along with Hoptimus, we are bringing you the news of the gaming world! Thank you for checking out the Tagcast. What's up, guys?
I like how it was like movie theater trailer, and then all of a sudden it got into like wrestling at the very end.
I was a little bit of that, and maybe some football.
I was like,
I had Bruce, to mute myself. I was too good. I couldn't keep myself.
I was waiting for you to be God, like, and in wonderful. This corner we have.
That's an idea for another episode.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Oh, well, with that, I am Fenrir765. We are joined by Anthem Part 3 and the Hoptimus Maximus, as always. And welcome, everybody. We got a show today. We got stuff to talk about.
Today I'm Hoptimus Martin.
Oh, Hoptimus Martin. Yes, because it's Oktoberfest season.
That's right.
Well, unfortunately, I do not have any Oktoberfest, but I do have a hazy little thing, IPA.
I got those in my fridge, too, so we're good.
Well, anyways, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of things to get into. And Anthem, I'm glad to have you back on again. You are our third time guest. We did the math. We figured it out.
I'm all about part threes. Yeah.
Yes. Is this you saying you're never coming back?
There might be a part three comeback. We'll see.
Couldn't you split part three into multiple three-part trilogies?
Yes.
That'll get us 9 more appearances.
Okay.
I like the way you think. You should work in Hollywood.
Jesus, like Linkin Park selling the same CD 15 times with different versions. Maybe I'm the only one that knows that reference.
Maybe.
I think you brought it up one time before.
I think I have, but anyways. Yeah,
they're at the end of the Transformers movies.
Yes, it's wild. Anyways, there's been a lot happening in terms of delays and ups and downs in games. There's been a lot of releases as well, so it's been kind of nice to see some things actually coming after the end of towards the end of our summer or season or whatever you want to call it. But you know, we have Epic and Google and Apple going at it right now. We have Facebook and Oculus doing some weird things. But, you know, one of the big things I saw recently was Control, which is a video game made by Remedy. They are coming out with a new version of the game. It's like their Super Ultimate Mega Edition. I can't remember exactly what it's called. But it's the only version of the game you can buy for, what was it, like $100 or something? And you get the free upgrade to the Series X and PlayStation 5 graphics enhancements and all that stuff.
Only if you buy this new edition.
Yes, only if you buy the new edition.
If you already bought it, you were SOL.
Yes, and if you already bought it and have the season pass, which is the only things that are included in the Ultimate Edition, besides
you are still SOL.
Besides the free upgrade.
That's pretty crappy.
Yeah.
Because I think like Romano and Hybrid and some of those other guys are like, we got everything already. So
yeah, that's kind of shitty that they're doing that.
I mean, I like Remedy. They've made some amazing games.
I'm going to take a guess that it's not them. It's not the developer that made this decision. It's whoever's publishing it.
I mean, I don't know. I would feel like you would have to be able to say no. Come on, don't screw us over like that at some point. But whatever. Control, I've heard it's a really great game. So if you haven't played it and you're looking to play it at the highest fidelity you can, then why not go all out and play it? But it does suck to everybody else. I have a feeling eventually there might be some backlash through this, and hopefully people will get their free upgrade with it.
Yeah, ACG posted a pretty, I put it in the Tag Discord, he posted a video kind of like blasting them for this, like, he called it shilling. It's pretty, I thought it was pretty shit. I was like, wow, that's pretty fucked up. You should at least offer the people that bought the original game and the season pass like a $10 upgrade something. Package or something. That's just messed up.
But now we're starting to see, you know, they weren't the first game to do this. I mean,
no.
The basketball 2K, whatever,
yeah, did it that's with right.
their $70 version. I mean,
that's true.
Guys, I hate to say it, but game prices are going to increase in this next generation. Whether it's early on or later on, it's going to happen.
You know what, Finn? I am pickier than ever, so this isn't going to affect me all that much.
Yeah, I'm kind of okay with it, too. I don't know. I know that you guys have talked about it on the podcast before, and there's so many different sides to it, but, I mean, I was paying $60 for a game, like, 20 years ago, and, yeah.
Well,
kind of makes sense to increase it.
I will get into this a little later, but I will wait now. Like, I've learned that I'm fine with waiting.
True.
And
the only games I don't wait is, like, something I gotta, like, absolutely have been waiting. It's, like, something I've been waiting for years. Like, there was no way in effing hell I was gonna wait out Borderlands 3 to go on sale. I had to have that game day one to play, because I love that series. But other games that are not my absolute favorites, I can wait for a deep sale. And I do, in a lot of cases.
True. But, I mean, here's the thing. All I know is you got to pay more money to get those enhanced editions and for Control. And we may know better when that will happen for at least the Series X. Cricket?
Yes, because... because Anthem's a smart guy.
Smartest guy in this room.
Yeah. Because the Series X has been confirmed for a November release, possibly November 6th. It seems like maybe stores and retailers, online sellers, have been told that they can't sell Xbox Series X controllers until November 6th.
Just to throw a curveball, you mean the Series X / S controllers?
/1/ Windows / iPad / and iOS.
Lockhart / I don't know.
That's a whole episode waiting to happen there, boys. Whole episode waiting to happen. What about Anthem? What's this new game that a bunch of people I've seen talking about?
Mortal Shell is pretty cool. I literally had not heard about it until today. I was like extremely slow at work and just browsing Twitch, and I saw this game was like top 5 played on Twitch, and I was like, what the heck is this? I clicked on it, and it's like Dark Souls. It looks, to me, it looks like Dark Souls 1, like the aesthetic and stuff, which yeah, was my favorite.
Look great. Now here's the $10 million pyramid question. Is this on Game Pass right now?
It's not. I checked.
Oh, shit. All right.
It's only yeah.
Otherwise, I'd be installing it right now.
I was on earlier today, and I saw.
Oh, it's only $30 though.
Right, it's only $30. I saw Warlock playing it. I was like, "Is it on Game Pass?" And I went and checked. It wasn't there.
That two-timing son of a bitch was playing Mortal Shell and didn't even tell me.
I gotta chat him up.
Get his thoughts. But it sounds like it's different from Dark Souls. In that the way you have character progression, so I assume a lot of people have played Dark Souls. In that game, as most people know, you collect souls and you upgrade your character by buying different stat points, and you choose which stat points you upgrade. In this game, as you go through the game, you unlock these. They're called shells, but I guess they're kind of like character skins, and each
it's like
one,
your armor.
Armor, that's probably better. Each one has like a different ability. One's like high stamina, low speed. Another one's high speed, low health. Another one's focused on combo attacks. And the other one's a well-balanced fighter. So sounds like a pretty cool take on the Souls style gameplay. And I definitely will be checking it out at some point, probably.
Yeah, it's definitely got like a... Like, I feel like they took out the blocking mechanic, so you can't, like, sit there and, like, turtle yourself. But each shell has its own unique ability or something it can do that you can do, like, with, like, a cooldown timer, essentially. So you can do some pretty interesting things with it, but you can only do it so often. So, like, yeah, it looks really awesome. I'm super stoked about it. I love Dark Souls. I mean, me and you, yeah. Anthem, went back and forth with The Surge 2 recently, and just, like, we're comparing notes on certain bosses. So, like, that'd be kind of cool doing that again with another game.
Definitely. And
I'm sure with $30, it's probably not a huge game. So.
Yeah, yeah. And I think maybe I'll wait, and hopefully it goes on sale, like, another 10 or 20. I don't know how, if that's... you know how long that'll be, but I'm
definitely, or maybe it'll just show up on Game Pass,
willing to wait. Yeah, or that too. So I definitely see myself playing it sometime in the next year or two.
Well, I mean, besides that, you know, Hop, why don't you give us a rundown on some new updates on things that are going on.
Shit came out of left field. Like, the stuff that dropped recently is really surprising. So Rainbow Six Siege, which I haven't touched in months. This trailer, though, got me a little excited. Maybe not excited enough to play it again, but it looks awesome. It's kind of cool. Ubisoft has listened to fans. A favorite character is not dead. Sam Fisher is going to be an operator in Rainbow Six Siege. I was like, wow, that's pretty freaking cool. His gadget looks awesome. He basically can fire a gun that shoots a survey camera into a room, and he can mark targets and see for his team and pinpoint where they're at. And I was like, damn, that's pretty slick.
Is he voiced by Michael Ironside, though?
You know, I did not check up that information, but it whoever it is sounds like Michael Ironside, but I don't know if it is. Michael Ironside probably commands quite a penny. I mean, come on, dude, he was in Top Gun, the movie Ubo's never seen.
Yeah, but do you remember... Like, do you remember the blowback they had on the last Splinter Cell game when they, like, got trashed for not having Michael Ironside, and then he came back for the Ghost Recon
stuff? Yeah, that's kind of... then they probably did get him. That's kind of a voice that you don't... Like, he's so memorable. So he also did the voice of Darkseid on the DC animated universe that Bruce Timm produced episodes. So that's the only voice, whenever I hear somebody else that's dark, that they've tried to recast as Darkseid and it's not Michael Ironside, I'm like, no, you fucking suck. Because his voice is just
burn in hell, you piece right? of shit.
Yeah, so we'll have to get back to that, but I just thought it was cool that why don't they just make another Splinter Cell game at this point? Like, why is he being regulated to guest appearances in Wildlands and Rainbow Six?
It's all a tease. It's coming.
Right? What do you think? Speaking of tease, we got Apex Season 6. This game just continues to get updates and patches, and it sounds like... This sounds really cool in that the all Recon class characters can now get a Circle Peak. So not just Pathfinder, but Pathfinder, Bloodhound, and Crypto can all do Circle Peaks. That's pretty awesome. And there's just a lot of balance changes, and of course there's loot changes, supply drop changes, all that stuff. Hemlock got a recoil reduction. That's good. I mean, I may have to play this game again some more. It's not my favorite
battle royale,
but I dig it.
And then I saw a friend playing today, and I just hopped on for a few games. I actually had one of the most fun wins I've ever had on Apex today. It was crazy. We revived each other like four times, and it was just like a uphill battle the entire time. And we killed the last team. We didn't even realize it was the last team. And we won the game. It was insane. And I think it was 14 and 13 and 6. So we had 33 kills in the game. That was crazy. Damn. I didn't even think about that until now. But yeah, Season 6 is cool. One kind of strange thing, I don't know, maybe not strange, but every gun that was changed got a buff. There was no nerfs to any weapons. So, like, everything
is better now. I feel like it's easier if you balance games that way instead of nerfing things if you buff everything else to match whatever's overpowered in most cases.
And one thing that I liked is they... so, the go-to gun, the best gun in the game, basically, was the R99, the SMG.
Right, light mag.
They took that out of regular play, and now it's only a supply crate drop. I think that, but they gave it a slight buff, I guess. Sounds like it's even more insane now. But I think that was a good choice, because you would get to the end game in Apex, and everybody would have that gun and something else, and it was kind of dumb. So
I just, for whatever reason, whenever I play that game, I only tend to find crappy guns like the Mozambique, and I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was running a little bit.
Another, like, from out of left field update we're getting is Dying Light is getting a DLC. How old is Dying Light now? 2 years? I mean, I feel like I haven't even played it in over a year or more.
I would say well over a year for me, yeah.
Maybe 2 years was the last time I played this game. But anyway, it's getting a new DLC called Hellraid, and it looks to me almost like Warhammer Vermintide, kind of a co-op survival mode set in like a somewhat gothical zombie fantasy universe. It's interesting looking. It looks like it was supposed to be its own game or spin-off, and at the last minute they kind of took butter in a shoehorn and cranked it into a DLC for Dying Light. I mean, the movement looks great in it, but it doesn't quite fit. I'm not sure how that's going to sell. I feel like they would have almost been better off selling it as a cheap, like, under $20 standalone game or something. I don't know.
Yeah, good news is it's only $10.
The DLC itself? Yeah, maybe that was the thing. Maybe it was like, do we sell it as $10 DLC or $20 standalone? And maybe Dying Light's so cheap now that they figured... Yeah, definitely. I don't know. Yeah, it looks cool, though. I don't know if I'll get around to it, but it does look pretty neat.
Is Dying Light on Game Pass? I can't remember.
You know, if it's not on Game Pass, you can always go to Amazon.com, and you can find a link for some Xbox currency cards, digital, and you can drop that in our Tag Discord and help support Tag. And get your game points and then buy the game via the Xbox Store. That's one way you can support Tag. You can do that on PlayStation. You can do that on Nintendo.
Excellent.
Or you can do that for 1,000 different new items you need for your new house that you're...
Yeah, like vacuum cleaners.
Rebuilding from the ground up in some ways. Yikes.
If you're in that situation.
Yeah, so, yeah, Amazon.com. Go ahead and use those affiliate links. Put them in our Discord.
Drop it in our Tag Discord.
Yep, bam. Put it anywhere you want. You get yourself a new link. Click it. Buy stuff. Give us money. So we can do things like this.
It is cleaner if you drop it in the deals channel, though. Yes. Just saying.
Comes out in a good way. You know, nice, pretty look. Shiny. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I do have a community question, and it comes from Duke. We talked about last week how he gave me a bunch of questions. And
at least somebody's giving us questions.
And I mean, it goes through cycles, you know. Then it'll be Ubo, and then it'll be Duke again. Maybe we'll get Studknuckle to send us a message. I don't know. We'll see. But I do have a community question from him, and I don't know if anybody knows this about Duke or not, but he is a avid EVE Online player.
Big fan, yes.
He was in many different, I don't know, do you call them guilds? Do you call them...
Clans? I'm not sure.
I don't know what you call it, but he'll correct me in the Discord at some point when he listens to this episode.
Probably multifaceted organization is what they would call it. Yeah.
Because they pretty much also run on, like, real currency.
Yeah, it sounds really complicated and scary, and I don't even want to...
Apparently, in EVE, the fake money in EVE can be worth more than the American dollar at times. So, moving on. Anyways, he asked a question that EVE Online has been finally streamlined to a console. He wants to know that since there's no more learning curve, no more spreadsheet math, would you be willing to jump into EVE and go through the deception, betrayal, loss of everything you worked for in a single moment, and also to know that you'll never be safe in the game? Would you play that game?
No.
That was Jason's point.
Especially not in today's day and age where, I'm worrying about getting a virus and not able to go to the gym as much as I want to and getting older every day, unlike I was 10 years ago.
Hop, how would you feel about the EVE Online?
I've looked at videos of it. It looks cool, but it looks like work.
Yeah. That's what
it looks like a job. My job is very involved, and then I also have, you know, family, and I don't have a lot of time, like, and that's why I kind of like either a simple shooting game like Call of Duty Warzone or a simple shooting game with loot mechanics like Borderlands, and then fighting games. Those kind of games fit really well. I can play them for 30, 20, yeah, but something like EVE Online, it looks amazing. It looks cool. I love the idea of it. It intrigues me. Now, if you slapped a license on it of one of my favorite properties like Star Wars, I'd probably fall for it. Hook, yeah, line, and sinker.
That's a good point.
Right?
Those are galactic credits.
Gosh, that would probably suck me in. But in its current state, because I'm not invested in the lore. Mass Effect, it would have to be like, it would have to be either like Star Wars or Robotech or Dune, something like that to suck me in that hard. So probably not. Although, like I said, if it had the Star Wars license and was handled well, I would probably be hook, line, and sinker sucked into something like that.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous. I hope they never come out with anything like that.
All right. Well, I mean, I honestly have heard of EVE, and then when I was chatting with Duke, like, he really got me into a rabbit hole with like reading about it, because he sent me this podcast about how games changed my life or whatever. And it's about this guy who doesn't even play EVE, but he's like the most influential person in EVE. And like, he's like the man, like, I don't know how you describe it, but like, he's the guy that people go to that he does a lot of the diplomacy and craziness. Like, I was dumbfounded by all the things he does. But, and like you said, he barely plays the game. So I started watching and listening more to it. But it's a game, would I be willing to try it? Sure. Would I play it? Probably not. Because it's too intense for me to get into. Because, like Hop said, I only have so much time. And I can't get sucked into something that's going to eat up my life at the same time. So I feel like EVE would do that. But it definitely is really cool. I mean, Duke shared something about this massive space battle that they had, where they had thousands and thousands of ships, like, all firing at each other, shooting, and it looked like slow motion fireworks, because I don't think the game could handle the mass amount of people that was doing everything, but it was cool. I mean, a game that can pull off something like that is a pretty cool thing. So those that continue to play EVE, more power to you. It's just not quite my cup of tea, but it's definitely something to keep following, and it has some really cool stories that come out of it. If you have a question for the mailbag, please send it my way in my DMs. I know that was a really hard transition, but please shoot me a message. I would love to ask it on the show, get Hop's answer, get our guest hosts. Maybe it'll be Anthem on his second trilogy run or his third trilogy run. We'll see. And then, but I'd love to be able to have a stable of questions to go through. With that being said, though, Anthem, what have you been playing?
I've been playing too much lately. I was playing a lot of Skyrim, just because I was reading some Skyrim style books.
And somebody drove by with a bag of Skyrim crack and was like, "Hey, kid, you want to get high?"
Like, put that right in my nose. Anywhere that I can inject it. And that's Skyrim, yeah. I've been playing a bit of the new Battle Royale Hyperscape. My brothers really like it, and they got me into playing it.
But your brothers are huge Fortnite fans, right?
They are, yeah.
So would you say Hyperscape is more like in that vein of a Battle Royale? Tell us about it. I know I haven't even really looked at it other than Ubisoft published it.
But yeah, to me, it's like, I really think of it as like Crackdown, Battle Royale.
Don't say that.
It's like, but there are things that about it that are a little bit frustrating, which is kind of like Crackdown 3. The most frustrating thing is that you can absolutely tell it's a PC game that's ported to Xbox because the
I'm out.
Feels like a PC game.
I'm out.
It's not too bad.
I was excited for a second. Now I'm out.
You have to just lower your sensitivity a lot, and they got to work on the acceleration a little bit. But it's really cool. You pick up these things called hacks, and they're like abilities that you use with your bumpers. And you can like fly through the air. You can teleport. You can go invisible or invincible, or like scan people through walls. And then you, they have like, I don't know, probably like eight to 10 different kind of guns that you can use. And the, how can I say it? Like the scaling in it is not like, with other battle royales. The way that you increase mag size or increase damage or range is you find more guns of the same, more of the same guns. So you find multiple assault rifles and you combine them and you can meld them together. I can't remember what it's called, but you basically can upgrade them by combining them up to 5 times. And once you get to the 5th level, they're very powerful. And you do the same with the hacks. It increases like cooldown time, the abilities. So it's really cool.
Doesn't it have a unique, like, I was hearing people talk about when you die, like you get to.
Yes. Sorry. Do, like, really, you're really still good part points. Of the game. Really good point. I didn't even think about Anthem, that. Yeah.
You just sounded like Ed McMahon.
When you die, it's not, you come back as kind of a ghost and only your teammates can see you. You can still run around, jump, but and ping things, but you can't interact with the world. You can't break down walls or open doors or anything. And there are different like revive points scattered throughout the map where your teammates can revive you, or when they kill an enemy, the enemy will drop a revive point and they can revive you where an enemy has just died. So it makes for very fast-paced gameplay. Revives are quick, and yeah, it's a really interesting take on the Battle Royale system. The map doesn't shrink in the same way that it does with other Battle Royales. It kind of like, it's all, the story is that it's all in a computer simulation, so what happens on the map is like different portions will become corrupted and they'll collapse and you get damaged when you're in them, and it kind of like, it's almost like a camouflage pattern on the map where like certain points become out of bounds, and it shrinks that way instead of being a circle that progressively shrinks. So it's interesting.
That's cool. I will say
went on a long time, so
that's the one thing on Battle Royale that like most games have gotten better with, but the impact, or not necessarily impact, but the engagement of the teammate who died.
Yeah.
You know, Warzone added in the, or really Apex added in the revives, then Warzone added in the same gulag. Thing, the buybacks and the stuff buyback, like that,
yeah.
And the gulag, and then now you have with the Cyberscape, like you can actually be of use to your teammates, and I don't know, like, does it seem really useful to have a ghost teammate running around?
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. When you're playing with a team of three, it's like if you have two teammates who are dead and you're fighting a guy, you will always know where he is because they'll just be following him around and telling you exactly what's happening. And it's like the difference between playing solo in a squad and playing solo with teammates is, it's got to be bigger than in any other Battle Royale, I would think.
It'd be kind of cool if, like, eventually the ghosts can see each other and interact with each other in a way.
Like, yeah.
To mess with each other.
But it would be really hectic. It's already super hectic.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
What else have you been playing?
I booted up Darksiders Genesis for a bit. It's a Darksiders Diablo-style game. It's pretty cool. It's a little more fast-paced than Diablo. And there's a little bit more platforming. But I played one night. We beat 3 levels. It's a pretty quick game. It's on Game Pass, so I recommend anybody who likes Diablo-style games to give it a try.
You did the co-op with it yet?
I did. Yeah, that's what we did.
Okay, cool.
And they have like kind of some of the puzzles are co-op style, so I'm actually not sure how you do them solo, but you have to, like, one teammate will go and break something somewhere, and then the other guy will have to go break something somewhere else, and you got to time it to open a door or something. So it's pretty fun co-op.
Awesome.
And I also played, I'll try to keep this short because I know I've been talking for a while, but I played a little bit of that new shooter Rogue Company. It's a 4v4. They have a CS style gameplay and also a hard style game mode, a hard point like from Call of Duty game mode. And it's 4v4. It plays kind of like Mass Effect. You get guns and different abilities. And
wasn't our resident Call of Duty guru McSwitch playing that game?
Yes, he was.
So yeah, I have an extra code if anybody wants one. I know a couple other people in the Tag Discord have extra codes. I had a little bit of fun playing solo, but I imagine it would be a lot more fun in a group.
So. Yeah, I just downloaded it, so hopefully we can get a crew together. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be, if it's ever becomes free, I think it would be a great game night game.
Sounds like a plan. Hoptimus, our go-to plunder man.
Yeah, just been playing lots of plunder when I can, but I've been sucked into the black hole of Borderlands 3 again. That latest patch has made the game, the game balance is better than it's ever been. B, I haven't had a single crash, Anthem, and I've been playing co-op like mad. I started a whole nother character, so I basically Amara is too powerful now for me, even more so that Aztec sent me a 200% anointed face puncher, so that's kind of silly.
Damn.
So I built a Moe's, and she's 56 or 57 now, but I built an all-iron bearer build, and I'm running a cryo minigun and nukes on the other arm, and I'm basically just destroying everything on Mayhem 10 with that build right now. It's pretty fun. I'm having a blast with that. And then I am really enjoying Tag Fight Club on Friday nights. We get together. We've been playing a lot of Killer Instinct. Jingle's been joining, Warlock, Sithy. We got a pretty regular group. We play Killer Instinct for an hour or two, and then as people drop out, other people jump in, and we'll go into like Virtua Fighter 5. Hoping we can branch out into a couple other fighters. Those two seem to be the best, because the lobbies work great, and we don't have any lobby crashes. We were really excited for Soul Calibur 6, but the lobby crashes all the time, so that kind of ruined the fun of Soul Calibur 6. Yeah,
that'll do any game that like 4v4. Yeah,
right. Yeah, it's sort of like that, where all of a sudden, basically, we're going into a room, and all of a sudden, a player's just auto kicked, or the match just won't start, and we have to rebuild the whole room. It's almost exactly like the Horizon 4 thing, which is effing annoying. What about you, Fenn? You've been playing a little Modern Warfare. I saw you the other night, and I wanted to play with you, but I had played it earlier in the day, and I was like, I really feel like playing Borderlands.
That's all good, man. I've been playing a little bit of Modern Warfare. If I get online, as of lately, it's been kind of sporadic. But I was playing some Gunfight with McSwitch and Taylor Tuesday.
I was going to join your guys' party chat, but it was set to private, so I couldn't join you guys. So
all you got to do is send me a message.
Well, I just figured I'll play Borderlands. Yeah. I was like, I'll just play Borderlands.
Oh, jeez, man. Come on. You know how to get a hold of me.
I do, but I was like, if it's that private, I'm just going to stick my dick in the Borderlands mesh with Taylor.
Oh, fine.
It doesn't take a lot of convincing for Hop to do that. So.
That's true. That's very true. We played some Gunfight. It was a lot of fun.
Plus, Gunfight's 3v3, right? So
yeah. We would have switched. But anyways, I digress. We were playing it. It was fun. And apparently, I'm pretty good at it. So I outscored McSwitch like on three matches. It was pretty dope. Yeah. It was fun times. It's always a good time playing with those guys.
Start calling you McFan.
Those Indianapolis or Indiana kids, they're real good at Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's about the only time I was good. I was like, the first match when I won it, I said, I'm going to sign off the Xbox right now because it will never be that good. I took a screenshot of me like being on top of the leaderboard with those two. So, it will go down in history. And then, like I said earlier in the show, we talked about like waiting for deals. Like, you know, Star Wars Jedi Knight Fallen Order is a game I've been super excited about and wanting to play.
This game's so good.
And it finally went down to a price that I was like, okay, I'm going to pay for it now. And I haven't gotten far in it yet. I've just went through the tutorial level, and I just started the other place. But I do love how it's Metroid-y and Dark Souls-y at the same time. So
I'll tell you from experience, if you want it to be more Metroid-y and fun, play it on the lowest difficulty and more like Star Wars, like you're a hero. But if you want more of a Dark Souls challenge, crank up the difficulty and you'll start cussing a lot real quick.
Yeah, I'm playing on the second to highest difficulty right now.
Oh, good times.
But I got to the first real world that you can explore around in, and I like went the wrong, not the wrong way, but I went away where you run into something that you're clearly not ready to fight yet, and it murdered me so fast.
That happens in that game a lot.
But, you know, that's what I love about it. That's why I like the Dark Souls type stuff. So, And then I've also, because when I purchased it and I was downloading, I was like, you know what, I'm going to play Dark Souls Remastered, and I started up a new run through that. And that game, there's something about your first Dark Souls.
Yeah, I agree.
That you just can't beat.
I played through the first Dark Souls and I beat it, and I think after that I'm afraid that nothing's going to be as good as that one, so I never played 2 or 3.
I mean, 2 and 3 are good, but Dark Souls 1 is like the pinnacle still.
And also, you know, maybe I got so mad that I don't want to play anymore. That might be the real truth there.
See, like, I understand your sentiment with that, but at the same time, like, I don't know, it's something about that style of game where if it's done right, and it's so frustrating, but as soon as you accomplish what you're
it's awesome. Exactly. No, for sure. It reminded me of, and only people that are of my generation probably understand, it reminded me of like when you beat Mega Man 1 for the first time on the Nintendo, because holy shit did you have to memorize all those boss runs and all. I mean, that game was hard as hell. And then Mega Man 2 was super, so easy after Mega Man 1. It was kind of ridiculous.
But it's so
funny. Or Ghouls and Ghosts. Ghouls and Ghosts on the Sega Genesis. Dude, that was like the OG, because not only did you have to beat the whole game to get the real ending, you had to beat the whole game again right afterwards. No break. Yep. I had to pause my Sega while I went to school.
Oh, yeah.
Turn off the TV, leave the Sega on, but paused. We didn't have no instant resume feature back then, or saves.
Yeah. I mean,
get off my lawn, you cracker kids.
I will say, like, the Dark Souls formula is still, like, trying to be copied, and like so many games that aren't, or companies that aren't from software, try and they fail miserably at it. And there's a couple that do really well, like the Surge games have done a really good job of kind of balancing that risk, learn, repeat until you can figure it out and you're good to go. Whereas some games, it's just like, no, we just make this hard and you have to just suffer until you figure out how to get there. So anyways, that's what I've been doing. So I'm down this really challenging Dark Souls-y Jedi Knight type path right now, and I'm pretty excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. Game's
awesome. There's some great puzzles and huge Star Wars lore tie-ins, and
It's probably like a few days ago, I was like, I kind of feel like playing a Dark Souls game, and I was like, I kind of feel like playing Star Wars, so maybe I should do some Fallen Order.
There you go.
And then
Did you play Fallen Order? You already played it, right?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about replaying it.
Me too. I actually, all right, everybody laugh, I have not replayed it since I got the new TV. So I thought about playing it.
Can't wait to hear about how pretty it is.
Hey guys, this game looks so amazing in 4K HDR.
You didn't drool enough, right, when you said that.
Do you know a game looks good in 4K HDR? Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Put that on a t-shirt. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm not in charge of the tag shirt store anymore. Otherwise, it might.
Me neither. I might do something.
Oh, well, you know, that's enough about what we're playing. What can we play in the future on certain nights?
Thursday night is Tag Community Game Night. This is mostly on Xbox One unless we play a cross-play game, which does happen. We got one, at least one this month. It starts next month. But the next four Thursday nights, August 20th, we have Star Wars Battlefront 2. Yes, I'm excited. I love that game.
Yep.
August 27th, in a lure to get Fireman Batista back into playing with Tag, we have resurrected Fancy Halo 5 Night. And what is Fancy Halo 5 Night? That is where you drink wine or expensive liqueur and you bring fancy snacks. Yes.
I'm ready.
September 6th.
Like Forza. Dark chocolate covered blueberries.
Hell yeah, dark chocolate covered blueberries.
There's an idea.
September 6th, Forza Horizon 4, which is cross-play with PC. Awesome game. We really love it, but as Anthem and I alluded to earlier, it does sometimes crash lobbies in a weird way where you don't actually know that your lobby crashed until you figure out that nobody else is in your lobby except for you. September 13th, back to Halo MCC. The new season should have started by then. Anthem, is there a date for when we get PC crossplay with MCC? It's got to be coming up pretty soon. No date yet.
Yeah, I hope it's coming really soon. It sounded like it was definitely going to come before Halo Infinite, so maybe that's why Halo Infinite was delayed, because they know they have to delay that MCC crossplay.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about that in a minute. Friday nights, I started Tag Fight Club, where we play fighting games. We're on Xbox One again, although we've been playing a lot of Killer Instinct, which has crossplay with PC. So if you do not have an Xbox One and you want to join us, come to our Tag Discord, drop us a line, we'll get you in Fight Club. You can play Killer Instinct with us. That's been our main go-to game because it runs great. The lobbies are fantastic. It's a lot of fun. People are learning fast. Like, Jingle Jenks kicked my ass in all night last Friday, and he said it was because he was on 8 shots of rum. I don't know. it was a lot of fun.
What were this about, crack tortillas?
So then he was eating something, and I was like, dude, what are you eating? He's like, tortilla chips, and he's crunch, 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 tortilla chips dipped in cocaine. I was like, what? I don't know.
I'm definitely going to join you guys for one of these. Thursday night's Halo night, and Saturday I always play. So like Friday is usually wife night, but I definitely want to join you.
Well, I'm sure one of these times when she gets tired of you, you'll be able to make
it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All the joys of getting my butt kicked. Newly married.
Yeah, that'll go away quick, man. Or you just get on after they fall asleep. That's what some of us do. Not going to name any names. I know a lot of Tag dudes that do this. Ben, what's going on with our book club?
They're reading a book. I mean, Anthem, you might be able to attest to that further than I can. You're one of the...
Yeah, I haven't been keeping up with it lately, actually.
Well, never mind.
I usually do, but not the last 2 months, unfortunately.
You know, I honestly think that August, we kind of skipped the month of August this time around for our book club selection, but... You know, join the book club channel. We'll get a book selected for either the last half of August and all of September, so everybody can join in on that and start fresh. But yeah, book clubs, fun stuff. Some interesting things came out over the last week and a half or so. I don't know, it's been a while, but we talked earlier about the show about how things have just kind of been a lot of news in terms of games being released, but also a lot of games being delayed. You know, one game I was looking forward to, not necessarily on the Xbox side, was Bullet Loop, and it's coming out. It's developed by Bethesda and Arkane Studios, and it's on PlayStation for now. Hopefully it comes everywhere, but it's a really cool looking game, and they delayed to 2021 quarter two more specifically. But the real big one was Halo Infinite, and in some ways, I wasn't shocked by it. Was I bummed? Yes. But it's not uncommon right now where a lot of games are being delayed, and a lot of developers are using the reason of COVID-19 impacting their development cycle and crunch and things of that nature, which is awesome to hear. So I kind of wanted to talk about game delays and how does that impact you, and maybe what your reaction to the Halo Infinite delay was. I personally am okay with the Halo Infinite delay. I'm fine with any game that needs to be delayed as long as it doesn't go Duke Nukem. And take 10 years for it to come out, which I highly doubt will be the case in this scenario. But if you need more time to make it better and hit the vision that you want to hit it, or react to what fans are giving you and give and hopefully make those changes, then let's do it. But, you know, where were you? Like, I mean, not where were you, but like, where do you stand, or how did you feel when you saw the news about the Halo Infinite delay, like, or maybe any other delays recently? I'll start with you, Anthem, since you're like our Halo dude.
I can tell you where I was. I was in bed because I woke up in the morning and I got a news article immediately after waking up that said Halo Infinite is delayed, and I was like, fuck.
There you heard it, guys. Anthem was in bed.
But I don't know. I'm in the same boat where I do just want a good game, so I'm okay with the delay. It kind of sucks because, you know, we've been waiting 5 years and it's still in development. I'm a little bit curious, and I don't think we'll ever find out, but I'm curious about what the reason is for it. I think either they were surprised by the complaints about the graphics and realize and think they need more time to touch them up, or as they said, COVID has just gone on a lot longer than anybody expected. And they thought that they were going to be able to get back to the office at this, you know, leading up to the release, and it looks like that's not going to happen. So, I don't know. I'm curious as to why. I don't think we'll ever find out, but I'm kind of okay with it. We've been waiting 5 years, so what's another few months? I just want a good game.
I mean, don't we all? Like,
yep.
Five was such a divisive title, you know. The multiplayer, solid, but the campaign was really divisive. A lot of people hated it. A lot of people were fine with it. Some were ambivalent to it. They're, whatever, I don't care. It was a campaign. I played it and I was done. But I think Infinite has such a bigger, I don't know what the word is, they have such a bigger void to fill at this moment, especially with it being the first Halo on the next generation of consoles. It's, you know, it was touted to be the flagship, or it is the flagship title, and it was touted to be the launch title for the Series X, and obviously that's not the case anymore. But does this delay put egg on Microsoft's face? Hop.
Actually, I think this makes them look better. So I was shocked, not shocked, when I saw the news. I was like, wow, that sucks. I mean, that was one of the whole reasons I was excited for a Series X. But honestly, after the unveil, I wasn't that impressed with Halo Infinite, not from a gameplay standpoint. I think the gameplay looks cool, and I'm not a graphics whore. Some people, I've heard some comments, and I'm like, really, guys? Because I play like 8-bit games. I'm not a graphics whore. But when you're launching a game that's supposed to be representative of a next gen in gaming technology, and it looks really nothing next gen, there was nothing in that game that looked next gen to me. And that was also, Digital Foundry thought the same thing. They were not impressed with it either. I think this is good. What I think they should do is they should put it back in the oven. They should add hardware ray tracing. They should make it. They should make the Series X version like really amazing looking. And don't get me wrong, maybe make a compatibility mode for those on the earlier Xbox One that takes out the hardware ray tracing. But if you can show off that game with hardware ray tracing, it's going to blow people's minds. And I think it's going to be much more of a wow factor for the Series X if they have a game that really pushes graphics in a way that nobody's really seen in a console game. I mean, for a new Halo and a new generation of consoles, I'd like to see us get a new generation of graphic improvement. And it's not even really with the fidelity, it's with the effects. Like, that's where we're at now. Like, we've hit fidelity level, right? I mean, next thing is 8K, but that's a ways off, and honestly, I can't really see 8K being that much better than 4K unless you have a really huge TV, But we'll see when we get there. I think with 8K though, we're going to get more of a color gamut improvement, so that may be huge too. I just really think a delayed game can only mean that the game will get better. So that's my hope. I mean, we still have no idea what the Series X is going to cost at this point. And we're in August. Hell, we haven't even seen a trailer for a new Call of Duty, which always has a trailer by this point in time. So it's COVID really has messed up the 2020 like height of gaming season with new consoles and game releases.
Do you think that the Halo Infinite delay is more from a aesthetic standpoint, or I think is it it's gameplay? I think story.
I honestly think that they got a lot of backlash on the visuals, like a lot, and I really think they went back to the drawing board to say, okay. I mean, it didn't look bad. Don't get me wrong, the game did not look bad. I didn't see anybody that badmouthed it saying it looked terrible. It just didn't look next-gen level. It didn't look anything like we hadn't. Like, it wasn't pushing any new boundaries. It didn't do any new graphical tricks if we're supposed to be on new hardware. You know what I mean? If you looked at, like, when the Xbox One came out, not all the games were lookers, but that game Rise, when I saw the footage of that, oh, I was like, holy crap, because it looked so much better than anything on the 360 at the time.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing looking, right? So when they showed the showcase, the only game to me that my jaw hit the ground was when they showed that little preview for Forza. And Forza's not coming out for a year because they're going to do hardware ray tracing and all that stuff, and it's going to be Series X exclusive. I would say it's like 80-20. It's 80% that they went back to really beef up the graphics, and 20% they're probably like, well, we could use this time to also fix this and that bug and all this stuff that we would have to patch in later. Because what game doesn't come out with a huge day one patch? Nothing. Everything. I mean, most games, the day one patch, you're actually getting installed the day before. Like, yeah. You have instant update on. So that's just part of life. Now. And somebody else I was talking to, I've been playing a lot of Borderlands 3 with Fallen Aztec. And he's talking about, you know, he's like, you know, people, I don't think people understand how much work goes into these games now, how big they are, how much art assets there are, how much the programming is. I mean, he's like, we were talking about a game like Borderlands or Destiny, where not only do you have like the base level of gameplay in the world, but then you have all the math involved with all the mods and custom parts to your character and guns, like all the crazy the math, the, just the pure math calculations in that alone, your processor's like melting. So, you know, that's just the world we're in gaming-wise, where the games are so complex. We're not in an era where you have 16 colors on screen with 40 sprite tiles managing 32 by 32 pixel counts on a 7 megahertz processor. Has gone way beyond that.
No, yeah, and I don't think anybody questions that. I just...
No, but a lot of people take it for granted. They're like, well, they just do this. I'm like, dude, because you're a programmer.
Well, there's also the people who are easy to, like, I don't know, denounce crunch, but then at the same time be like, where's my game? And
yeah, I have a couple friends that work in the industry, so I'm well aware of... I got a friend that works for Treyarch, so when crunch time happens, I don't hear from him for 4 months.
And that's all, and that obviously has been a highly publicized, you know, fault in the game industry, like, for the last 10 years or so. I mean, you got companies like CD Projekt Red who are like, you know, we'll delay again and again and again so we don't kill our employees.
Dude, that game looks amazing. Those last previews they put out for Cyberpunk 2077, that looks next gen. And that may just be because of the art design, but whatever it's running on, whatever they've been showing the previews on, probably a PC with hardware ray tracing, just looks insane.
I mean, I think there's a way to do delays. I've heard a lot of people speculate that Microsoft kind of knew that they were going to delay Halo before the showcase. Like, they knew it was coming up. Like, this was a possibility on the table. I mean, hell, Phil Spencer even said at one point, like, the Series X will launch without a game if we have to delay everything out of it. So they had no qualms about the Series X launching without a game. And that's awesome, you know, that they feel confident in their product. So, you know, I don't know. It's just interesting that, like, do you think that the showcase was like, all right, we're going to throw this out there, and if it doesn't get the backlash, then maybe we'll be okay. But if it we do get the backlash, then we'll just go ahead and stick to the plan and delay it. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't think about something like that.
That could be. I mean, I don't know. I think the 343 team was probably excited to show Halo, and I get that.
Yeah, I mean, people have been asking for it. Like,
right. Oh, well, yeah. Come on, it's been 5 years. And I for one, I really have enjoyed Halo 5, especially the multiplayer. It was amazing. The campaign was kind of weak, but it was still good. It was still fun. It still looked... I went out, as soon as they showed the Halo Infinite, I went back and pulled up the E3 trailer for Halo 5, and Halo 5 looked better at E3 than Halo Infinite did in my eyes. From an art direction standpoint, it just looked more done, like it was done and ready to go.
See, like, that's where I've kind of gone back and forth. Like, Halo 5 looks glossy. Like, everything's got a nice, fresh paint job, whereas Halo Infinite just felt matte and a little bit more subdued in its colors.
But there was the thing for me is the lighting. There's no lighting in Halo Infinite. It's very flat.
Halo 5 had
contrast lighting. There was light sources on characters. There was so much more lighting going on. Even if it was faked, that faked lighting looked more impressive overall.
True. And, I mean, the Digital Foundry video really went into huge detail and explained that, which is, you know... Because, you know, Halo Infinite is doing open world with the real-time lighting.
Right.
You know, and that will obviously impact things. And you're right. And the lighting looks so makes everything different.
And better. It's at a huge cost of graphical processing power. If you watch that video, he talks about that. He's like, when you use fake lighting, you're not going to use as much. He was talking about Last of Us. And he's like, that's why those games look so good. And run so well, so it's a compromise. Yeah, you know,
you can pick where the lighting comes from, and it doesn't have to move throughout the level or the experience you have. I mean, that's one of the things about like Unreal Engine 5. Like, that is going to hopefully push the envelope in the way lighting is done.
Right, and if they can get Halo Infinite running with the hardware ray tracing, that's going to fix up almost all that lighting effects. It's probably going to look amazing.
Or really shine some lights on some ugly brute faces. But I mean, I think at the end, like, I think delays have come to a point where I think masses are more willing to accept a delay when... Maybe 5-10 years ago, people would lose their shit.
There's also so many games. Like, for them to delay Halo, I was like, oh, I'm sure I'll be fine. There's so much other stuff to play. As much as I want to play Halo, like, now, like yesterday, I'm okay because I know there'll be stuff to play. Oh, there's always something to play.
Well, and that brings us to my next point that I wanted to ask. You've been very vocal about this, Hop, that the delay of Halo hasn't just necessarily impacted... maybe your desire of playing Halo, but it's impacted maybe a major purchase in terms of the Series X. Like, where do you stand on that still?
I'm going to wait and see. It really is going to depend on the cost. And then, but like I said, right now, I have no need to buy a Series X because there's nothing coming out that demands a Series X right now. I'd be okay probably rolling another 6 months easy. But if the price is right, I may get one just because it's going to do some cool things for my existing games.
It's interesting. It's delaying your purchase of the Series X, but it's not stopping it.
Right.
And I think that's got to be the same for like everybody. So it's funny. I was thinking about this. Like the people that say it's going to affect the sales of the Series, like it might affect it initially, but I don't think people are going to. I mean, I don't know. I don't think people.
Sure there's some games that they showed at that thing that some people are dying to play and are dying to play on new hardware. There's always somebody that's got to have the latest and greatest thing on day one, no matter what. There's always those people. They're going to buy it. They're going to be there day one. For me, like I said, it's going to depend on the price. But I can't think of a day one game that I want to buy. I don't even think, is there a day one Series X exclusive? I don't think so. I think day one, there's not. I don't think we get a Series X exclusive
game. Well, the official day one lineup has not been released yet.
Right, that too, so we don't know.
So there could still be a surprise release that we haven't even been told about. But, I mean, for me...
So you're in a different boat. So I have the 1X right now. I'm already experiencing 4K
HDR. So Ben, are you on the original or a Series S?
I'm on a Xbox One S, and I still have a 1080p TV that I game on. So, like, for me, my plan was always to upgrade to the Series X, and then after some time, once all the TVs kind of figured out their HDMI 2.1 scenarios and crap like that, I would upgrade my TV.
Yeah, you're probably okay. A good 6 months after the Series X release when that gets all...
So I want to ask, how does Halo 5 now run on your Xbox?
I mean, it runs fine. Like, okay. The only thing that it struggles with... still is load times. Like, that's really where I'm banking on the next gen consoles is the increased or the decreased load times or next to nothing load times, because it takes forever for me to load into almost anything now.
I don't know if you guys remember, but basically Halo's last two releases, major game releases, have not been good. Obviously, we know all about MCC. But I think Halo 5 has aged so well that people forget that the launch was really not that great. It had a lot of frame rate issues at the beginning, and it also launched as a very sparse game. There was no big team battle. There was only Slayer and Capture the Flag and Strongholds. There was no King of the Hill. There was no Oddball. It had Warzone, yeah. The Forge was like super limited, and... it had a ton, like the Forge had a ton of frame rate problems, and it, like, people were pretty upset. I think mainly the big team battle thing, but also the missing game types thing. Like, Halo 4 and Halo Reach had a lot of cool new game types that first were not brought over to Halo 4, and then Extraction and Regicide, and that other one that's kind of like professional football in Halo 4 were not.
Football.
I can't remember the name of it. It's called
something else.
The one that you throw the ball, you can throw it in or run it in.
Okay.
But that also was not in Halo 5 at launch. Like, Halo 5 was really not the strongest launch. And so I think they really want to get Infinite right, because of the backlash that they've had.
I'm fine with the game. As long as the core modes can be strong, have big team battle, obviously, at launch, but Slayer, Capture the Flag, and big team battle, and maybe some other things to mix in, if those can be strong and balanced pretty well, I'll be okay if you can drip feed me the rest for a while. But, you know, give me Husky Raid. That shit is awesome. But the other thing is, like, I think... It's one of those things that, like, they are clearly taking their time. And I think at the end of the day, though, I think Microsoft's in a no-win position with this. I really do. Either Halo 5 comes out and the story's okay. It's good.
You mean Halo Infinite?
Halo Infinite, yes. Halo Infinite comes out. The story's good. Everybody enjoys it. The multiplayer's fine. Then everybody's going to bitch and complain. This is what we got. After blah, 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 delayed. Or it's going to come out and, like, unless the game comes out and it's great, 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10, masterpiece level shit, people are going to crap all over this. Waited 6 years for this. This is stupid. This is terrible. Even if it's a good to great game, people are going to jump all over this. And I think that has to do with the magnitude of what Halo is. And... You have the PlayStation and PC people going, haha, Microsoft sucks in games, and then that narrative will continue going down the road. Even though it may be a very good game, I don't know. Like,
There's also the divide between quote unquote classic and modern quote unquote Halo fans, which is pretty stupid in my opinion.
I mean, look at Gears of War. I mean, Gears of War has gone from a very beloved franchise from its hardcore players to very divisive and, you know, against each other. A lot of people have really quit the game, a la one of our hosts here tonight, and many others.
What, are you talking about me?
Yeah, you. So, like, I think the modern day game is becoming harder and harder to keep everybody happy. I mean,
right. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, 50% are going to be unhappy either way.
Part of the problem, I think, and that's from, in my opinion, that's where Gears went wrong, is they tried to go after the bigger player base. They were going after, I mean, a game like Call of Duty keeps everybody happy because it stays to a very simple formula, whereas Halo and Gears and had addicting. A different, right, Halo and Gears have a different kind of meta. Gears was a very, Gears 1, 2, and 3 were very visceral. It was very tough to get into the game. It was tough to get good at the game.
Yeah.
And it was tough playing people that were good because they would just beat your... It was relentless. It was like... I don't know how to explain it. It was like learning a new life skill to get good at Gears. You had to kind of just charge in there and take it over and over and over and get your butt kicked. And then
you started to find a
flow. Yeah. Right. Gears of War multiplayer is like Dark Souls. You had to really learn how to play it. And you had to learn that wall bounce with the shotgun. You had to learn the map layouts for the guns. You had to work as a team. And then in the age of everybody being jackholes online and all this stuff, that kind of gameplay is just tough. And so the Gears team, I think, really went after a bigger, more casual player base, and they for me, they lost me, because I was like, that's not why I played Gears. I played Gears for that hardcoreness. And I feel like Halo needs to stay Halo in multiplayer. If they try, and they, because with Halo 4 when it first came out, they really tried to go like, maybe we can grab some of that Call of Duty money with the loadout drops. Yeah, and some of it worked okay, and some of it was kind of like, no, get that crap out of here. And Halo 5 I felt like was a good mix of classic Halo, but with some movement stuff. Halo 5 played good. I'm hoping Halo Infinite doesn't stray too far from that formula. It's got to stay Halo.
So I just had a thought, because we were talking about like games and how they can change over time and cater to certain people. What if Halo or Gears or, you know, whatever franchise you want to pick followed a Call of Duty format where they are annualized and they're released every single year? But what ends up happening in that case is those studios, those developers can say, you know what? We're at point A with this franchise right now, but if we release every single year, we can move this franchise to point F pretty easily without anybody really noticing for a very long period of time, or at least accepting these changes because we're drip feeding them over annual releases that happen at small paces. So, you know, whereas with Halo and Gears, there's 2 to 3 or 5 years between games. So when you get to the next game, you're so used to playing that style of game for 5 years, and now you have a completely different style of game in a way. Does that make sense when I'm going out with this?
Do you know what the plan is with Halo Infinite? I'm not sure how accurate it is, but it seems...
Something like it's not a game as a service, but it is kind of like it's like a living game.
They want it to be a 10-year plan. They don't want to release a Halo for at least another 10 years. But you look at Halo 5,
like you said, it's completely different in its multiplayer approach than it was when it launched.
And one problem I think that Halo 5 had, what I've heard from the developer side, is that it was extremely difficult to update. They had to work really hard to change things, to make balance changes and to add things to the game than they did with like Halo 4. And from what I heard, a big reason for designing the Slipspace engine for Halo Infinite was to make it more updatable, because Halo 5 was such a difficult game for them to maintain over a long period of time, which is one of the reasons that it became so huge.
Yeah, what is like almost 170 gigabytes or something? Like,
yeah, I think it's less than 200, but it's big.
That's wild. I mean, Call of Duty's getting stupid, insanely large, and with its glitchy updates that they can't seem to figure out with Microsoft, where a 2 gig update turns into 61.
Oh my gosh!
Right? Yeah, that's awesome. But,
yeah, on your point about kind of the Call of Duty style, it that method of releasing games, it almost pushes me away. Because it's like too fast for new iterations of the game.
Speaking back, I would agree with you, Anthem, on that. A good example of that would be a counterpoint, and kind of maybe what Halo Infinite is doing is Rainbow Six Siege.
Yes.
Has morphed over the years with each of its big season updates and passes. I mean, it's the same base game, but it's been a living game. I mean, that game is 300% different than when at launch the game was a trash. I didn't even want to play it. When I played the beta, I was like, this is freaking horrible. But by the end of year one, they had fixed it a lot, and by year two, it was a lot of fun, and it continues to improve, and they listen. The thing that they're doing is they're listening to their fan base. They're seeing what's going on in tournaments. They're looking at what the living game is doing. And they're not trying to shut down certain... They're shutting down exploits, but they're not trying to nerf things into oblivion. They're just trying to equalize all the operators, because there's been various operator tweaks over the years in that game, and hopefully that's something that Halo will do. Instead of releasing... I think the Call of Duty thing is a cash cow for Activision at this point, and that they get a huge influx from income for doing that, you know?
Oh, totally. I mean, but I...
Inside the Madden games.
Yeah.
That was the original right there. The EA Sports games, they were the original version of that. But to be fair, that is an era where there were cartridges, right? So every year there was a new version, because you had to have updated player roster, updated stats, sometimes an updated graphics engine. With the technology now, it would be cool, developers, if you just sold us a $20 DLC every year. Here's the year content, like a living game. And I think that's kind of where Infinite's going. I mean, if the developers... Killer Instinct did this. When it released, it was actually free, and you got one character. And then if you wanted to buy characters, they were separate. Or you could buy the season pass. It was up to you. But they didn't try to, like, hose you into a bunch of stuff you didn't need. If you just wanted to try the game out, you could download it for free with one character. And I thought that was a really cool model that they did. And maybe Halo Infinite's going to have a model similar to that with its multiplayer. We'll see.
Go ahead, Anthem.
That's kind of what, like, the Battle Royale games do now, right?
Right.
On a smaller scale, but they'll have, like, a season and things are generally the same. And then for the next season, they'll change it up and add some things and maybe make some map changes. And it's pretty... I like the trend that Battle Royales have with that system.
And it seems like they've had a positive influence on some of these other developers.
That's true. But, I mean, either way, we are going to not see anything for Halo Infinite and many other games probably until 2021. And hopefully that's for the better in terms of what these games will be when they come out. Until then, though... Do you have any last words, Anthem, that you want to share?
Hit me up on Hyperscape, Rogue Company, even Apex if you want. Unfortunately, Skyrim doesn't have multiplayer, but if you want to sit in a party chat and talk with me, always shoot me an invite, anthemspace.pt3.
All right, Hoptimus.
What's up? You can hit me up at our tag Discord under Hoptimus. My Xbox Live tag is there. I'm always looking for people to do Borderlands 3 with. I especially could use some folks that want to do the Guardian Takedown. Please, come do the Guardian Takedown with me. I can solo the Malamon Takedown with my Amara now, so I need a challenge. hit me up there. I'm also down to play some Warzone and some Halo and some fighting games. Finn, where can we find you in the webs of the internets?
Fenrir765 at theadultgamer.com Discord server. You can hit me up there. You can hit me up and then Xbox Live as well. I would like to just give a small shout out to Willow Star. She finally made herself to rank 20 on our Discord server, and she was the butt of a joke for a very long time in terms of that, and was a team player for a prank I pulled on her. So
that was a pretty like terrible drawn out prank in a good way.
Yeah, it was one of those things. I didn't know if it'd pay off, but it did. At least for me, it did. But anyways, congratulations, Willow. I hope you enjoy your newfound privilege. But until then, we are theadultgamer.com podcast, the Tagcast, and we look forward to having you on the show or listening to us in the future. Have a good night, everybody, and see you on the flippity flip.
Woo! Peace.